بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. أما بعد، let's start tonight. إن شاء الله it's not a lecture. Again, it's just a reminder to one another about still Ramadan. I guess you have listened to so many speeches about Ramadan and how to prepare for Ramadan and how a Muslim should wait for this month, as the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the early generations used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 6 months to make them reach the month of Ramadan, and then after that they would make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for months to accept their deed in Ramadan, which shows the great importance of the month of Ramadan. And last week we spoke about the different things that a person should put in his program or on her program to make Ramadan a successful one and to be able to be among those who are freed from the hellfire, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees from the hellfire every day people in the night of Ramadan. People are happy when the month of Ramadan comes, but the most people that are happy with the month of Ramadan are the believers, those who are happy for the month of Ramadan because it's the month of forgiveness, the month of being free from the hellfire and things like that. So as part of being preparing oneself for Ramadan, I thought of something that is very important and really spoke about as far as preparing oneself for the month of Ramadan. And that is, although we have so many deeds that a person needs to do in the month of Ramadan, but how is the truthfulness in one's intentions to perform the deeds that he wants to do or she wants to do in the month of Ramadan? If there is no truthfulness in one's actions, then things become difficult. And that's why a Muslim should be always truthful with oneself, truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does he or she really want from this dunya, from this life? If a person chooses to want the hereafter, if the person chooses that he wants the Jannah, the paradise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the believer, then he has to be truthful with this want that he wants. He has to be truthful with the covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says in Surah Al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Then he has to be truthful with this covenant that he makes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is the one to be worshipped and he is the one to be seeking help. And if a person made the covenant that he wants the Jannah, he wants the place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the believers, then he has to be truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing, if a person wants to be free from the hellfire in Ramadan, if a person wants to be forgiven his sins in the month of Ramadan, then he has to be truthful. Is that something that he really wants to do, or is it just something that he wishes, but then there is no action that would be as a result of this need and want that he has? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us in the Quran to be among those who are truthful. He said, tabarak wa ta'ala, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ittaqu allaha wa koonu ma'a sadiqeen. O you who believe, fear Allah, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and always be among those who are truthful. So truthfulness is something that we don't have a choice to have, whether we are truthful with whatever claim we have or whether we are not truthful. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran so many different verses about this, and the Prophet ﷺ also mentioned in the hadith that he alayhi salatu wasalam said in the hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari and Muslim, عليكم بالصدق فإن الصدق يهدي إلى البر وإن البر يهدي إلى الجنة ولا يزال الرجل يصدق ويتحرى الصدق حتى يكتب عند الله صديقا وإياكم والكذب فإن الكذب يهدي إلى الفجور وإن الفجور يهدي إلى النار ولا يزال الرجل يكذب ويتحرى الكذب حتى يكتب عند الله كذابا. Which roughly means that the Prophet ﷺ is saying, be and always stick to the truth. And because truthfulness or the truth would always guide the person to righteousness. And righteousness would guide the person to Jannah, to paradise. And the person would be always saying the truth and always seeking the truth till he is written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is a truthful one. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, and beware of lying. Because lying would lead the person to disobedience, and disobedience would lead the person to the hellfire, and the person would still lie and keep punctual in lying till he is written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is a liar. So as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that truthfulness is something that has to lead the person to righteousness, and lying would have to lead the person in disobedience and being away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the meaning of the ayah that Allah had mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ. Those righteous ones are among those who are in pleasure, in Jannah, and those who are disobedient are in the hellfire. So, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that this righteousness, that is only the only way that a person would gain righteousness, as we mentioned in the hadith and in the verse, the only way to gain righteousness is to be truthful, truthful with oneself and truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that righteousness is basically the whole religion. So to be able to have the whole religion in one's life, we have to be truthful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَى الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ والسائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون. Which roughly translates, it is not a dhir, it is not piety, it's not righteousness, that you turn your faces towards the east and west in prayers, but al-dhir, righteousness, and that's the definition of righteousness that is led by truthfulness, is the one who believes in Allah, the last day, the angel, the book, the prophet, and gives his wealth in spite of love for it to the kinsfolk, to the orphans, and to al-masakeen, to the poor, and to the wayfarers, and to those who ask, and to set slaves free, performs a salah, and gives the zakah, and who fulfill their covenant when they make it, and who are patient in extreme poverty, and disease, and at the time of fighting during the battles, such are the people of the truth, and they are al-mustaqeen. So see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of the verse, He is defining the word righteousness, and at the end, he is showing that these are the people who are truthful, which is basically the whole religion. So my reminder to myself and to everyone is while we are preparing for Ramadan, while we are preparing to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how eager we are to be free from the hellfire and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, the truthfulness has to be something that we all have. The truthfulness in which that if we decided that we want to have the Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prepared for the believers, then we have to be truthful for wanting this Jannah and be able to be patient with whatever the route of Jannah would make the person with. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jannah has been covered by this life. Or the route of Jannah, it's been the route of this life. It's not the easier one. It's the more difficult one. And the route to hellfire is the route for desires, is the easier route. But the person, if he is truthful that he wants the Jannah, then he has to seek the route of Jannah, which is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to be the most truthful ones. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he used to make dua, as Hafsa, his daughter, mentioned. And this was mentioned and narrated by Bukhari wa Muslim. He used to make dua radiallahu anhu, Allahumma arzuqni shahadatan fi sabilik, waj'al mawti fi baladi rasulika sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he used to make dua, oh Allah, give me shahada, give me martyrdom for your sake, and make my death in the town of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina. So she used to say, وَأَنَّا كُنُوا هَذَا. How can this happen when there is no battles that are going on in the Medina? So he would say, رضي الله عنه, يَأْتِي بِهِ اللَّهُ إِذَا شَاءَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it happen if he will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was truthful with his dua. He was truthful with himself and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his dua, in his supplication. And Allah accepted his dua. He gave him martyrdom. He gave him a shahada in al-Madinah and without having to go out and fight. And he died in Medina, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, he mentioned a hadith saying that in the day of Uhud, in the day of battle of Uhud, he saw Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu, and Abdullah ibn Jahsh told him, أَلَا تَدْعُ اللَّهِ. Shouldn't we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So they set aside, and Sa'd radiallahu anhu said, or made dua and said, يَا رَبْ إِذَا لَقِيتُ الْعَدُوَّ فَلَقِّنِي رَجُلًا شَدِيدًا بَأْسُهُ شَدِيدًا حَرْضُهُ أُقَاتِلُهُ وَيُقَاتِلُنِي ثُمَّ ارْزُقْنِي الظَّفْرَ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى أَقْتُلَهُ وَأَخُذَ سَلْبَهُ فَأَمَّنْ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنِ جَحْشٍ. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, he said, O Allah, if we meet the enemy, make me meet or make me fight with a very strong man, that I would fight him and he would fight me. Then give me the victory over him till I kill him and I take whatever he has. So Abdullah ibn Jahsh said, Ameen. Then it was the turn of Abdullah ibn Jahsh to make dua. He said, Allahumma arzuqni rajulan shadeedan harduhu, shadeedan ba'suhu. أقاتله فيك ويقاتلني ثم يأخذني فيجدع أنفي وأذني فإذا لقيتك غدا قلت من قلت من جدع أنفك وأذنك فأقول فيك وفي رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم. عبد الله بن جحش said in his dua, O Allah, make me meet a strong man from the kuffar, that I would fight him and he would fight me, and then he would take me and he would kill me, and he would cut my nose and my ears, so that when I meet you tomorrow, meaning when he is martyred, and when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would ask me, who cut your nose and your ears? I would say, it was for your sake, and for the sake of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you would say to me, O Allah, you are a truthful one. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas said to his son, after he narrated this to him, he said, the dua of Abdullah ibn Jahsh was much better than mine. He said that I've seen him at the end of the day after the battle was over, and his nose and ears were both hanging in a rope. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accepted his dua, and he met the one that he mentioned in his dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him martyrdom. When he was truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were very truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's in their dua, in their salah, in every aspect of their life, they were truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever they would start their prayers and they would say the dhikr that the person would say before they recite Surah Al-Fatiha, for example, the Prophet ﷺ used to say, وَجَّهْتُ وَجِهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, which basically, I turned my face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created the heavens and the earth. When he would say this dhikr before he started the salah, he is truthful in saying it. That means he's not being busy in his salah. He's not saying that I turned my face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while his heart is completely away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they used to be truthful, and that's what we need to concentrate in doing. We need to have this truthfulness in our life, in our manners, in our worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, and the reason I'm mentioning these types of stories from the Sahaba, because these are the people that we were supposed to follow, their example, and they were the best people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chosen them to be company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam al-Bayhaqi and al-Hakim al-Nasa'i, they narrated a hadith that a man from the Bedouins, from the Arab, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he became a Muslim and he followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he told him, should I migrate with you? Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him yes, and he was with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the battle of Khaybar came, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions had some booty of the war. So he distributed among his companions, and they gave some of this booty to this Bedouin person. So he said, what is this? They said, it's part of your booty that the Prophet ﷺ has given to you. So he said, that's not why I had followed you. He went to the Prophet ﷺ and he told him, I did not follow you to have booty of the war. I followed you so that I would be hit by an arrow, and it would enter from my throat from this side, and it would come out from the other side, and I would enter Jannah. That means that I followed you so that I can fight for the cause of Allah, so that I can have this martyrdom and I would enter Jannah. So the Prophet ﷺ told him, "In tasduq Allah yasduq." If you are truthful with Allah, Allah will be truthful with you. And that is the bottom line. That's why we're mentioning this story and more of it, of these types of stories. The Prophet ﷺ told him, if you are truthful with Allah, Allah will be truthful with you. If you really sincerely want to be martyred, if you want to give your whole life for the sake of Allah, Allah will be truthful with you and He will give you whatever you want. So then, when the battle started, he went and he fought, and they carried him to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ looked at him and he found the arrow entered exactly the same spot that this man had said that he would wish for it to enter in it, and he would die as a martyr. The Prophet ﷺ looked at him and he told him, صدق الله فصدقه الله. He was truthful with Allah, so Allah was truthful with him. And the Prophet ﷺ made dua to him while he was martyred, and he said, اللهم هذا عبدك خرج مهاجرا في سبيلك قتل شهيدا وأنا عليه شهيد. Oh Allah, this is your slave. He set out he migrated for your sake, and he was martyred for your sake, and I am the witness for this. And the dua of the Prophet ﷺ is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this person was truthful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was truthful with him. Also, Anas ibn al-Nadr radiallahu anhu, he was in the battle of Badr, he missed it. And he had made a covenant with Allah. He said, لَإِنْ أَشْهَدَنِ اللَّهُ قِتَالَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ لَيَرَعَنَّ اللَّهُ مَا أَصْنَعِ. If Allah gave me life, that I would witness the fighting against the disbelievers, Allah would see what I would do. And then, was he truthful or wasn't he truthful? He wanted to be martyred for the sake of Allah. He wanted the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the day of Uhud came, and the Muslimin, some early signs of defeat had shown, he said, Allahumma inni a'tabiru ilayka mimma sana'a ha'ula, that he apologized to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what the Muslims had did. And then he said, and I freed myself from those people, meaning the disbelievers, what had they did. And then he said forward, and Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu saw him. And he told him, Ya Sa'd, Anas ibn al-Nadr is telling Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, Ya Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, Al-Jannah wa Rabb al-Nadr. The Jannah, the paradise, by the Lord of al-Nadr, I smell its fragrance by the mountain of Uhud. So Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he's saying to the Prophet sallallahu, O Prophet of Allah, wallahi, I could not do what he did in the battlefield. Anas radiallahu anhu, the narrator of the hadith, says, we found in him over 80 hit by a sword or by an arrow, and we found him had died, and no one had knew him except his sister knew him by his fingertips. Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, we thought that this ayah and more of it was revealed for him and for others like him. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا. Which roughly translates, among the believers are men who have been true to their covenant with Allah. They've been truthful with Allah. What did Anas ibn al-Nadr say? He said, Wallahi, if Allah gives me life, I would show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what I would do in the battlefield. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse. Among the believers are men who have been true to their covenant with Allah. Of them, some have fulfilled their obligations, died as martyrs, and some of them are still waiting, but they have not changed. And that's what the meaning of this verse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them, and they were truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the way that they fought, and they were truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many different things that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had did. Remember the story of Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu that I mentioned a few weeks ago. Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu, when the verse of the Quran was revealed, that من ذا الذي يقرض الله قرضا حسنا فيضاعفه له أضعافا كثيرة. Who would give Allah a goodly loan, and he had a garden under his possession, and he wanted to fulfill his obligations and to apply the verse in himself. He went to the Prophet ﷺ and he asked him, O Prophet of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most rich, asking us for loans. So the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, not because of his need of your worship, but to raise your levels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need of our worship, does not increase his treasure subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's the benefit and all the blessings of the slaves who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu, he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I make you witness, O Prophet of Allah, that I have a garden that it has 600 palm trees in it. I make you witness that it's all for your sake and for Allah's sake and for your sake, Ya Rasulullah. So Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu gave this for the sake of Allah, and he went to the garden and he told his wife to leave, that he had given it as a loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that Allah would make it more and more for him in the Day of Judgment. He was truthful radiallahu anhu, and when the battle came and he was martyred radiallahu anhu, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how many palm trees and how many dates now are for Abu Dahdah in Jannah? When he was truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was truthful with him in the hereafter. So many different examples and so many different stories from the Sahaba that shows their truthfulness. And the reason I mention this is we need to be truthful with oneself before the month of Ramadan comes, and in any time, in any place, the truthfulness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that would lead the person to righteousness, and righteousness would lead the person to the Jannah. As Anas radiallahu anhu says, that if Allah make me witness to disbelievers, I would show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what I would do. The same thing a Muslim should say before the month of Ramadan. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me alive till I get to the month of Ramadan, Allah, I would show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how great slave I am as far as making worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, when he talked about Ramadan, he said, أَرُوَّهَا إِنْكُمْ خَيْرًا, that show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from you good. Show goodness from you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in the heart and knows everything about his slaves. But making ourselves humble towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah for forgiveness, repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all sorts of sins before the month starts, before the month of Ramadan starts, so that we can expose ourselves to the great blessings of this month. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he one time, he was going up to the pulpit. When he stepped the first step, he said Ameen. And then he said Ameen when he stepped on the second step. And on the third step, he said Ameen. So when he was asked about it, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when I put my foot in the first step, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me. And he told me, he is a loser, to the meaning of which, meaning is basically the literal translation, that his nose, that person's nose, is being put on the ground if one of his parents or both of his parents were alive and they weren't the reason for him to enter Jannah. So he told me, say Ameen. So I said Ameen. And then on the second step he told me, the person is a loser. His nose will be on the ground out of humility if your name was mentioned in front of him and he did not make salah and did not make prayers on you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, and then he told him, say Ameen. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Ameen. Then for the third level, he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person's nose will be on the ground, meaning he's humiliated, that person, that Ramadan would reach him and would finish while he's still alive, and his sins won't be forgiven. Which shows the great loss for a person to live the whole month of Ramadan without his sins being forgiven. Why is that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repeatedly, through the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentioned of how different occasions that Allah would forgive the sins of his slaves in the month of Ramadan. مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا أُغْفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا أُغْفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ مَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا أُغْفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan, Allah would, إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا, believing in its obligation and seeking the rewards from Allah, Allah would forgive his previous sins. Whoever prayed the night of Taraweeh in Ramadan, إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا, believing in its virtuousness and seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah would forgive his previous sins. Whoever prays the night of Qadr, إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا, believing in its virtuousness and seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins. One after the other. So how can a person be a loser when he misses all these opportunities for his sins to be forgiven? And that's what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith. He is humiliated. He is a loser, that person that the month of Ramadan would reach him and would pass him while he did not have his sins forgiven. So it's not a time for ghafla, it's not a time for forgetfulness, it's not a time for being ignorant, it's not a time of being away from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is the time of worship and worship and worship. And that's why the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they used to live some of the good deeds in Ramadan, so that they can concentrate in reciting the Quran and gaining the rewards by worshipping and standing at the night's prayers. They would stand till their feet would, they would switch standing on the right foot and then on the left foot out of standing for a long time in worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would leave the nightly prayers when they leave, and they would go in a hurry to their places, to their homes, to eat some dates before the Fajr Adhan would come. Meaning they would be in worship the whole night. It doesn't mean that the person has to be standing in salah the whole night, but praying, reciting Quran, making dua, making dhikr in the month of Ramadan. And the most easier way to have this in ourselves and to make it easier for oneself is to be away from sins. Sins, dear brothers and sisters, is the main cause for our weakness and our laziness in making ibadah, and our laziness and our weakness in making worship, that we don't feel the sweetness of the ibadah, the sweetness of the worship, because of the sins. Because of the sins that we see, the sins that we do. All these types of sins are the sins that make us lazy in our worship. So a way to avoid having laziness in Ramadan is to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to seek Allah's forgiveness and to seek Allah's help and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He would give us the tawfiq, that He would give us the guidance to worship Him the proper way in the month of Ramadan and other than Ramadan. Because if it was left to us, then a person would be a loser. If the person is only depending on himself and not to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would be the loser. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us truthfulness, and as I mentioned, the meaning of truthfulness, sit with yourself. See what you want from this dunya. Do you want the high status in the dunya and nothing in the hereafter, or you want the hereafter first? Do you want the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If the answer was yes, then make this yes a truthful one. To make it truthful, read the Quran, read the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How was the life of a Muslim? What is the life of a true worshipper? The life of a true slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then we follow this path, whether it brings us the status in the dunya, whether it doesn't bring us the status in this life, it does not really matter. The most important thing is to seek the hereafter, to seek the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be truthful in our needs and our wants, to be truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be sure, and be sure, very sure, that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something in the Quran, it is for its truthfulness. So, being truthful, obeying the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfilling and making this program that we mentioned last week about how to take advantage of the month of Ramadan, it has to change the life of a person. And to make the Muslim not just a Muslim that comes and worships Allah in the month of Ramadan and then after Ramadan it's over, but it's just a way to start, and every month of Ramadan comes, a person is elevated higher and higher in that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us truthfulness, to give us truthfulness in our acts, in our speech, being truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. If there's any questions, then it's the time for it, inshallah, and I will try my best to answer them.